had some football games over the weekend. We had the preseason, of course, and then actual college football games that mean something. And I tell you, Saturday night was the best. Like, for me, I'm a dad. I got a kid that runs all over the place. I got a kid that wants to go to the trampoline parks and the parks and grandma and grandpa's house all the time. And we're running around. But at nighttime, the child goes to sleep. And it's time to sit down and watch games. Oh, that's my favorite. That's why I always look forward to games. For me, Angel, 7:45-ish, 8:30-ish is my sweet spot. Nothing. No work. Unless I'm at a CSU game or UNC. Child's asleep peacefully in his bed thinking of big day tomorrow. You know, my wife's either watching with me or she's choosing to do something else. Either way, it's totally fine. And that's how it was on Saturday night. It was just a beautiful time. So, yeah, I did watch the Notre Dame-Navy game, most of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, blowout city. But I was doing that in between stuff. It was the later games, like, it was the Louisiana Tech-Florida International game. Like,
I was watching Vandy, Ohio.
Yeah. I wanted to watch USC. Don't have Pac-12 Network. Oh, yeah, that's right. They screwed something up.
What network?
Yeah, whatever network. That you even though that game would have been fun to watch. It was 56-28. Mm-hmm. But Caleb Williams, like, is 278 yards, 4 touchdowns for him. 56-28. Just crazy. The Notre Dame story was interesting. Was it Hartman has, like, the necklace of the rib or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was weird.
They got their guy, though.
They got their guy who has a rib that he wears around his neck. Part of his rib.
I don't know whose rib it is.
Could be his rib. Could be a shark rib.
I don't know.
Looks like a shark tooth. I thought it was a shark tooth at first. Then I watched the story. But Louisiana Tech was interesting because it was Hank Bachmeyer, former Boise State quarterback. Was going up against Florida International, and they couldn't move the ball at all. Mm-mm. Needed 3rd and 2, couldn't get it. So it was just so fun to watch games and just have them.
It's nice, and I heard it on several different broadcasts, was like, yeah, we're all watching these games, but they're not really games you want to watch. It's like, yeah, I don't really need to watch UTEP and Jacksonville State, but man, that was a good game.
It was a good game because you just take it. At that point, you just take games.
It's like the fried pickle appetizer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of good for a second. But, you know, the first ones when they're right and crispy are good, and then you get them, like, they sit for 5 minutes. It's like, yeah, no, I want, like, the nachos.
You actually get to your burger or nachos.
The mozzarella sticks, or like the pot stickers. Come on, give me the real appetizer.
Yeah, you're like, why would I go with that in the first place? Game's coming up this week, though. Obviously, we know UNC plays on Thursday. I'm excited for Thursday night football. Any other games of note on Thursday? Well, you got Florida and Utah. Ooh.
Is Cam Rising going to play for Utah coming off his ACL?
Mm-hmm. Utah's
Florida
just
look
a
like
six
without Richardson.
They're just a 6.5-point favorite, Utah.
In Utah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I might take that.
Nebraska-Minnesota is kind of interesting.
I'll watch that one.
Yeah, that one looks good. That's just Thursday.
I'll listen to it because I'll be watching UNC and listening to Blake Olsen. And
can you, off the air, but tell me, can I borrow? How does the ESPN Plus thing work? If you're watching it, am I able to log in on yours or Micah's?
Know.
I got to figure that out. I don't have ESPN Plus. Because I have 4 million things. And
I only
can't
get
one more.
Football, basketball season, and then I cancel it and then just re-up. So I just re-upped it on Saturday.
Oh, you did?
To watch golf.
Well, if I was
on Sunday.
Oh.
So it's the championship.
Oh, man. Southern Utah and Arizona State? Nah. Friday, anything? Other than, of course, football night in Northern Colorado, and then whatever our high school game of the week looks like.
Let's see.
Central Michigan, Michigan State. Louisville, Georgia Tech.
That could be something.
Stanford and Hawaii.
Yeah, it's not great, but, you know.
It's your late game.
We're all looking forward to Saturday, and we kick it off on Saturday morning with Eastern Carolina and Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Or Virginia, Tennessee, or Colorado, TCU.
We will have the Colorado, TCU game on KFKA Saturday morning, bright and early, thanks to our great partners with Compass. Excited about that. And then I'll be at the Washington State CSU game. 5 o'clock kickoff, so means I'll be there at 3:30. Walk down on the field.
You'll be there bright and early at the stadium with your chair and your radio.
No, I won't be there. I won't. Because I don't need to be the guy that's down there getting pictures and stuff.
You don't need to take in the atmosphere.
I might.
And the tailgating.
No, because it's if I'm not going to be a part of it, I don't want to walk by you guys. Because I'd rather do that.
I get free food. Tag says, "Hi, I'm Brady Hull."
We get free food. We get free food in the press box, Angel. They treat us up there.
Tailgate parking lot food.
Ooh, yeah.
The stuff that they just put together this morning.
They just
throw it on the grill
dishes.
For 10 minutes.
I hope it's a fun environment. Did you see San Diego State? Their crowd.
Mm-mm.
Who'd they play this weekend? I just had it. Who did they play?
Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? Where's my numbers here? San Diego State announced a crowd of 23,867 tickets distributed for the game, although attendance was 16,831. Most of the fans were on the west home side and north side, where students turned out 5,000 strong. Subtract 5,000, so 11,000 actual people. Sorry, students, your people, kind of. That's terrible.
Not great.
And you're trying to get into the Pac-12 when it was the Pac-12, and now you're like, wherever they go, CSU needs to follow. Is San Diego State a hot commodity now? I know it's California. You've got 11,000 fans outside of students that attended your home opener. Now, it was Ohio, and it was a close game. That's wild to me, man. That's a bad look. Season ticket sales were down nearly 35%. They only got 16.8 turnstile attendance at Snapdragon Stadium for their home opener. So what that means is turnstile means the tickets were sold, but only 16,000 of them showed up. And in this day and age,
why do you buy a ticket if you're not going to go? Obviously, things come up, but like,
do they just have season tickets and they're like, this is one I don't want to go to because it's Ohio?
If you're going to pay for it.
Which school did Memphis play?
No.
They play this weekend.
Yes.
Very curious about them now.
Oh, yeah. They're doing the ticket sale.
Yep.
The free ticket for every win.
Yep. For like a certain amount of people. And for every, if you win that game, the next home game's free. And then the next home game's free. Then maybe San Diego State should do something like that. Either way, I think I'll be curious to see what the turnout looks like for CSU Washington State. I really am. I got a pair of tickets I'm going to give away a little bit later on. So write down that number. Keep that number in your phone, by the way. First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. The Broncos finished their preseason game. Do you ever get a sense of relief when the preseason's over? Just kind of like, okay, good, now it's done. Now the next real thing for the NFL is real football.
Yeah, you start looking at your roster, trying to cut down from 90 to 53. You're going to see some guys that you fell in love with in camp part ways. They'll get picked up on other teams. Maybe they make the practice squad. But it's all about shaping up the best 53 for next Thursday. And we get going with Lions Chiefs.
Next a week from this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Then we recharge the Thursday night special.
Really a week from Sunday because only two teams play on Thursday.
But when you're a diehard college fan, it's not the wait's not as long now. You know, it's like, hey, we got stuff Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to go today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then that's it. I got to go three more nights here.
So we're only working 3 days. Really.
Pretty much.
Mentally, we're only here for 3 days.
Pretty much. So I'm excited about that. Oh, and a programming note, Rams Weekly normally airs at 5 o'clock on Thursdays. We will air that at 4 o'clock on Thursday, this Thursday, as we will have the Blue and Gold pregame show with Blake Olson and Matt Gaetor starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday with the opening kickoff set for 6. So I'll be, I know I'll be listening to that game. Because you can listen no matter where you are. 1310kfk.com allows you to do that. I suggest downloading the free version of TuneIn, and you can listen to all of your KFK programming throughout the days. The Broncos win 41-0. Let's just go down the line here. Jarrett Stidham, 17-28, 236 yards, one touchdown. He had a rating of 99.7. Then enter Ben DiNucci. Best last name in the history of sports, DiNucci. 11 of 15, 117, one touchdown, had a rating of 117.9. Is there a quarterback controversy in Denver, Colorado today? Now, Russell Wilson, what we saw of him, game one against Arizona, 4 possessions, there was supposed to be 3. Sean Payton didn't like what he saw. Now, in fairness, Russ did drive the team down twice for 2 missed field goals, right? But wasn't satisfied enough, kept them in for a 4th possession that wasn't really planned, or at least that we don't think was planned. They drive down. They still have to go for it on 4th down. They get the touchdown. Russ finds Jerry Jeudy, who will not be there week one. Second game of the preseason was against San Francisco, and you go one possession with Russ. One possession that leads to a field goal, and that's it. Does that bode well in your mind for Russell Wilson that Sean Payton didn't really need to see much from Russ? If you think about it, he saw 5 more possessions than he did last season. I thought we would have seen something from him in this Rams game. I thought we would have seen more from him in the San Francisco game. But Sean Payton's apparently seen enough. Are you concerned that when Russ was in, it didn't yield those kind of results? I mean, they scored 17 points in the first. And Jarrett Stidham looked really good, didn't he? I mean, That's damn near perfection. And what the Broncos were able to do to go right down the field and score on their opening drive. I mean, you had some nice runs from McLaughlin again. He was moving down the field. Some nice hits from Jarrett Stidham to Humphrey. I mean, he and Humphrey were connecting quite a bit. Albert O was a star. You know, you saw Marvin Mims Jr., I think, giving a lot of people some encouragement. I mean, the numbers were nice. Marvin Mims had 2 for 51. And how about Albert O? He gets my whole show player of the week presented by Zvi Brewing. We're going to give him that honor. I don't know if he'll be a Denver Bronco for long, but he had 7 receptions for 109 yards and 1 receiving touchdown in a preseason win over the Rams. Was that a game that said this was a coming out party for Albert O and he's going to be a stud for Denver? Or was that a go out, light it up, because dude, we're going to trade you or we're going to find you a better spot and we want you to be valuable. Go out there and do it and you can find a really good situation for yourself because you're probably not going to be on this team.
I mean, I know Sean Payton has mentioned it in the preseason that, you know, you're not just trying out for this team, you're trying out for 31 teams. So, yeah.
The depth chart for the Broncos, of course, has Adam Trautman, Greg Dulcich. He's not beating those guys out. Chris Mannertz, don't think he's going to surpass him, but maybe Nate Adkins. And then that just depends on how many tight ends are you going to carry. I don't see it. I just see an amazing game in a preseason. That was awesome. That's why Alberto won the player of the week. Good for you. Baez Vi Brewing beer as you leave Denver. Because they're not going to carry five tight ends. They're already carrying a fullback. Michael Burton's playing fullback for him. So I don't see it. Another cut, Kendall Hinton gets cut from this team. So the current setup of the depth chart for the Broncos is Courtland Sutton, Marvin Mims Jr., Brandon Johnson. Jerry Jeudy will be number one or two when he's in there. But as of right now, it's Sutton, Mims, and Brandon Johnson. Callaway, little Jordan Humphrey, who I heard his name a lot in the preseason. And then you got Taylor Grimes, Montrell Washington, Michael Bandy. So those are your wide receivers at this point. After losing Tim Patrick and Jalen Virgil, and then Jerry Jeudy for a little bit. Jeudy shouldn't be out long. But those were kind of the bigger stories coming from the final preseason game was, do we have a quarterback controversy? And here's my thoughts on that. No. It was a preseason game. I don't know how the Rams didn't have their star defensive players in. Jared Stidham looked really good. Everybody was bringing their A game. The one touchdown for Stidham. DiNucci had the other one. Jaleel McLaughlin continues to look really good. He had 48 yards and a touchdown. He'll make the team. But should Russell Wilson be on a short leash? Meaning, first game of the season against the Raiders, 3-3 and outs. Do we have an uncomfortable fan base at this stage then? 3-3 and outs? Jared Stidham time?
Fan base, possibly. With Sean Payton, I don't know if we've probably said this, I don't know if he's completely tied to the hip with Russell Wilson. And
I don't know that he's not, though.
True. And I think with Payton, as an experienced head coach in the NFL, I don't think he cares about egos. I don't think he cares about the media narrative, and it's not going to affect who he plays. As a coach, if Jared Stidham can operate my offense better than Russell Wilson, there you go.
Yeah, it won't take long.
I think Sean Payton would rather do that than sit down and try to adapt his offense to Russell, which he's already done. That's what his whole offseason has been. And if it comes to the point that Russ can't operate Russ's offense the right way and Stidham can operate the Sean Payton offense, then there we go.
What's that look like? Let me paint some scenarios. Scenario one, you beat the Raiders. You beat Washington. You're 2-0. But in both of those games, Russ is like 12 for 19, 170 yards, no touchdowns in game one, a pick, but you beat the Raiders. Game two, let's go 185 yards. He had a touchdown, also a pick. You beat Washington. Those aren't good numbers.
No.
Does he get pulled? You're 2-0. Going to Miami next.
You would start him that third game, and then if the pick comes up again, and depending on when that happens, if it's the first drive, then it's, oh my gosh. If it's, you know, three or four drives in, and then, hey, we're going to try something in the locker room, we'll talk about it, and we'll see how it looks in the third quarter, and go from there.
What if you could drive right down against Miami, score 7-0. Russ still finishes the game with like 168, one touchdown, no picks. You somehow beat Miami. You're 3-0. Keeping Russ, then you're
until
beating
he
teams,
loses the job, yes.
But you're not doing it because of Russ.
Yes, because in the NFL, it only matters if you win or lose.
So what if we reverse it? You're 0-3, but Russ's numbers are great. You're keeping him there too, probably, right? Because
yeah, but the next pick, it's Stidham time.
You're putting pressure on somebody else. Let's say Russ is throwing for 268, two touchdowns and no picks. The next game, it's 250, one touchdown, no picks. The next game, it's 245 and no touchdowns, no picks, but they ran the ball like crazy. But they're 0-3 But you go, Russ isn't the problem. Those seem like decent numbers. Mm-hmm. There's gonna
you'll find out early if it's Russ or if it's the supporting cast.
Yeah, it's not gonna be a black or white thing. I don't believe
there will be instances of both in this first game. I can guarantee it. Russ is gonna miss a throw. Receiver's gonna drop a pass. Something's gonna happen.
Which quarterback is under the most pressure going into the season? Is it Russell Wilson?
He's one of them.
I mean, who else is it?
I'd put pressure on Josh Allen.
Oh. Why?
What has he done?
He's like the best quarterback in the league.
What have you won? I'd argue Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback.
But Angel, those two aren't even the same atmosphere. Is Josh Allen in jeopardy of losing his job?
No.
Russell Wilson
is. Is there pressure on Josh Allen to win?
Yeah,
yes.
But not to lose his job.
That's not how you phrased it.
You said
who has the most pressure in the NFL?
Right. I said, does Russell Wilson have the most pressure in the NFL? And you said you would argue that it's Josh Allen.
I said he's one of them.
But you would argue that it's Josh Allen.
So Russell is one of the most, under the most pressure. I would say Josh Allen is also under a lot of pressure.
But nowhere near close to Russ. We're talking end of a career.
You're talking a good Super Bowl contending team versus middling average last year.
We're talking if Josh Allen struggles, they don't go to the Super Bowl. We're talking if Russ struggles.
Other questions that is he still in Buffalo after next year?
I don't think so.
If they don't win, if they don't get to the AFC
Championship. It's not Josh Allen. That's their guy. Josh Allen's their guy.
Oh, I'm just putting a thought into the universe that what if they don't, not that he's not going to be a bad quarterback, but if they don't get to the AFC Championship and win it, Buffalo has to start asking questions.
There's pressure on Josh Allen, but we're talking Russell Wilson now becomes career backup for the rest of his career, or he just quits.
Sure, there's different levels of pressure, but to say Russ is the only quarterback with pressure on
him.
No,
but he's the most.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm arguing that there are other quarterbacks that face pressure even when they're at the top of their game. Because when we talk about wins and losses in the NFL, what has Josh Allen won as the starting quarterback for the Bills in the last 4 years?
You're right. He hasn't won Super Bowls, but he's won a heck of a lot more than a lot of quarterbacks
have.
Because only so many guys are doing it.
He's in a different tax bracket at this point. I know you can win. I know you're a great quarterback, but I need you to win it.
All right, here's a question for you. Who's under more pressure, Tua or Josh Allen?
It's different because Tua is under the pressure to stay healthy.
If Tua's healthy, but they missed the playoffs this year, what's the future look like for Tua?
Well, he's on a fifth-year extent. He's on contract for next year, and they'd have to look at, do you assign him to a second contract?
I'm just looking at the divisions, and I think Tua's under pressure. I think Allen's under pressure. I think Mac Jones is under pressure. Aaron Rodgers is under pressure. Lamar Jackson's under pressure. Joe Burrow probably not.
Is Lamar Jackson under pressure?
Lamar?
Yeah.
Sign the contract.
He's got his pay. He's got his money. He doesn't have to do anything.
Well, he's got to prove that he's worth it, or otherwise he's going to go down in history as a big flop.
That's already a done deal, though. He's got his money.
Depends on how you look at it.
He signed a contract.
He signed a contract, but if he sucks, then he's going to go down in history as the worst contract ever signed. It's going to change the landscape of the NFL.
He's got money. If that's all that we did this big hoopla about his contract, and I'm saying the pressure is off of him where it's not, I don't have to be healthy all year.
You have to be healthy.
To get a contract. My contract.
Well, yeah, but you're talking, see, now you're going to contract. There's amounts of pressure. Russell Wilson is not under any kind of pressure to lose money. He could get cut, but he's still got a guarantee coming. His legacy is under pressure. Lamar Jackson, okay, you just signed a contract that makes you one of the best quarterbacks in the league, according to the numbers. Can you live up to that? You were an MVP of this league. Can you get back to that status? Josh Allen is, in my opinion, not going anywhere. He is Buffalo's chosen son. It's everybody else's issue, not Josh Allen's. So I think there's different amounts of pressure. But all those guys I'm listing, and some of these guys are potential Hall of Fame guys down the road. We'll see. Potential Pro Bowl guys. Mixed in with Russell Wilson. Russ is fighting for either you're going to continue being a starting quarterback and you're going to work on your Hall of Fame status, or you're going to be a career backup for the rest of it, or you potentially just retire and it's over. 30 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more on this, more on the Broncos preseason game. It is game week officially. We're finally going to see what the Buffs are made of. We're finally going to see if Fort Air Raid has taken hold in Fort Collins. Can Ed Lamb be the savior for the UNC Bears? Are the Wyoming Cowboys finally going to throw the ball more than they run the ball? Or at least like 10% more? Is Air Force still Air Force? Are they still going to be a dominant team in the Mountain West? And how long will the Mountain West be? A lot to answer this upcoming season. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here on the whole show, powered by Chevron. Thanks for being with us here as always. We got our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. We've got, is this wine? I don't know what it is. We've got Friday the First Tastings coming up on Friday. And it's a Doppio Paso wine, I guess, and then some other stuff that we have going on. So we got tastings there. I'm not sure if that's the game beer of the week or if it's just the tasting. So I'll have to clarify that a little bit later on in the show. But we do
deep red wine.
Yeah, we do love On the Rocks Liquor. I got to get the text out. I got to ask here because I got to know. All that stuff, because I need to know what the game beer of the week is, and then what the tasting.
So the phrase or the name Doppio Paso.
Oh, there you go.
It
That's
goes
beautiful.
Back to the sport of football, and means double pass.
Oh, really?
It's a metaphor for particularly successful working cooperation in the sense of teamwork.
There we go.
So it's a teamwork wine.
That's
team.
Perfect for football season. I mean, that is perfect for football season. All right, so we'll clarify that. I just don't know if that's the tasting or if that's what we can go have we go purchase that for our game beverage of the week, or I'm not quite sure.
13% alcohol by volume.
It's a lot of alcohol. Oof. That's a lot of stuff. Oh, there it is. There it is. Beer of the week, dry dock from apricot or apricot? Some people say it differently. I say apricot. Dry dock apricot, blonde, six pack.
Apricot just sounds like I'm saying it wrong.
Apricot? Well, I think everybody says it wrong.
Apricot.
Apricot?
That sounds pretentious.
That sounds weird, too.
You know, them's apricots.
Apricot. Yeah.
There you go.
The dry dock apricot. Blonde, six pack. Blonde, six pack ale. There we go. That is our game beer of the week. I just got that information, so you are extremely welcome for that. And then some great wine tastings. And Angel, say it again. How is it? Say it how you said it so eloquently earlier.
Doppio Paso.
God, that's good.
It's Italian.
How about Prima Trio?
Prima Trio.
Grio, I know that. Is it Prima Trio Grio? Is that what we're dealing with here? For the tastings, Friday the 1st, they're sparing nothing here. They're coming all out with some great wine tastings for you, and then our game beer of the week.
I don't know a lot about wine.
I don't either.
I can pronounce it in Italian.
But hey, you know what? Angela, I don't know a lot about wine. That's why you got to trust the folks at On the Rocks Liquor. They know their stuff. They know a lot about wine. They know a lot about beer. Supporting local breweries throughout Northern Colorado. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by Chevron. Okay, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is, do you like the new rule change in college sport, in college football, where they're not stopping the clock after first downs anymore, save for inside 2 minutes of the second and fourth quarter? And some people really don't like this. You know, I had somebody say, why do we keep insisting on trying to make this the NFL? Ooh, Jane, I can read this on Twitter because it's public knowledge. Kim Norvell, Jay's wife, says no. Do not like it. Don't like the rule change. That's kind of some groundbreaking stuff there. Wonder why. Does it impact the four air raid style somehow?
I'm not sure. I think you just have to be quicker about getting your plays in off of a first down. Like,
it's going to be harder on a young quarterback, though.
Maybe, but you know, there's so many different methods for getting play calls in, whether it's, you know, just a couple of phrases, or they'll throw up cue cards or do hand signals or something. There's a lot, but I think in terms of just the procedural aspect of, okay, first down, get the play in, let's move.
Yeah. No, I
don't think it's much different than going hurry up on a second and third down, because it's the same clock management.
Does that mean we're going to have more scoring or less scoring? What do you think?
I don't know. Because I think you could score a lot very quickly. You know, for a high up-tempo team, you know, hey, we'll get 3-4 plays in, and it's going to be a minute and a half.
It's going to encourage you to want to score, like, to get it going faster. So, therefore, your offenses are probably all going to be a little faster.
And defenses will be tired if they're on the field. Or, you know, defense will be tired or more energetic depending on how long they're on the field.
See, I think this bodes really well for an Air Force-type team. First down, just keep running the clock out. I could wear down a first quarter like you wouldn't believe. See, in that case, I wouldn't take a lot of overs in Air Force games. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't take a lot of overs anyway in Air Force games. High-flying teams, it might mess with you a little bit. Okay. So, go answer the poll question. I want to see what you guys think there. Go to thewholeshow.com. That is our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. All right, let's take a quick break here. Let's get the latest. Oh, you know what? Wait. Let's load it up. I got it right here, Angel. I got a pair of tickets to go see Colorado State and Washington State. Row 21. So it's good. It's a good row. It's a good row. I got a pair right now. You guys get for free. I'm going to go caller number. Let's do Clay Millen's number. Caller number 11. Caller number 11. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see CSU, Washington State, this Saturday at 5 o'clock. Caller number 11 on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears!
Just 46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Do want to thank another great sponsor of ours, and that's Renaissance Insurance Group. Ryan, I've gotten to know him over the last year or so. Excellent at what he does. You know, that insurance group, I mean, they deal with air in the areas all over the Front Range. They specialize in the Front Range. And they just want to reemphasize this, I should say. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for over the last few years. You want to get an insurance company that can really protect your assets and what you've been busting your tail for so long. So they're the go-to for an insurance company for farming operations. That's Renaissance Insurance Group. They're in Windsor, but they service all of northern Colorado, up and down the Front Range as well. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. Just 47 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, wrapping up the Broncos preseason as a whole, it was riddled with injuries. There were some tough injuries for this team. Wide receiver depth took a huge hit. I feel like a couple of guys came out of nowhere and shocked us. Jaleel McLaughlin looked really good. Albert O made a case to make this team, or at least get himself into another situation where the Broncos might work with him. You know, hey, we'll trade you. We want good value for you, but we'll try to make sure it's a team that needs a guy that could actually be, you know, a third string guy, can actually make the team and make an impact. We learned a little bit about Russ. Not a lot in the preseason. Didn't really get much. Jared Stidham can move the ball up against the backups. Marvin Mims looks to be pretty good. Brandon Johnson, hopefully he can stay healthy. I worry about him. Defensively, I mean, what do you learn? They shut out a Rams team. Awesome. We don't know that much yet about what to expect from Vance Joseph's defense. You can only learn so much from the preseason, but 41-0, man, it's hard to find a lot wrong with that. I think Zach Allen's going to be a beast. I think Josie Jewell's going to have a phenomenal year. Patrick Surtain could move his name up as the number one corner in the NFL. K'Wan Williams being out sucks. There were just a lot of injuries again. But I think that the players that are healthy going into the regular season are big enough names where that shouldn't be a huge a monster reason why you're successful or not. It does all come down to Russell Wilson. And did his leash get shorter after what we saw from Jared Stidham? Whether the answer is yes or no, the truth is yes. That's the truth. Because it's confusing, but you're not going to waste your time. And the crowd will freak out if Russ struggles, knowing you got a guy that was a big part of putting 41 points up against the Rams. 49 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out. We'll wrap up the show. We'll get to what we learned here on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 28th day of August? We had a lot of great interviews today. Well, we had two. We had Jacob Sermon for his show that's going to be airing each and every week, thanks to Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. We learned that he's kind of an outdoorsy guy. He's kind of an early riser and gets after it. He likes to grind, get it, and get to work. Reminds me a lot of his new head coach, Ed Lamb. Also learned from Hugh Millen that, yes, as much as we talk about all the pressure on Russell Wilson, it's 100% true even now from an outsider's perspective. Hugh used to follow Russell Wilson closely in the Seattle market, but now he's saying it right now. If Russ can't get it right, that's Russ's legacy. It was just good at Seattle, but it wasn't good enough outside of anywhere else. He was more of a system-type quarterback, and I guess we're getting ready to find out. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Jacob Sermon doesn't like Christmas music.
That sucks, man. That made me so sad.
You know, that's like a half point off for him in my book.
2 points from Gryffindor.
You can make up for it with a win on Thursday.
It's true.
I also learned that not everyone likes the college football new clock rule.
Yeah.
I didn't see enough of a difference in a game to really feel if it's faster or slower in any means. It probably won't hit me until I watch Alabama play and I start yelling because they're not getting the plays in fast enough or something. So then we'll see.
Yeah, well,
when it affects me, then it affects everyone.
If it affects you and then gambling lines and all
then
that, it's like,
problem.
What's going on?
Yeah, gotta look into this.
Didn't see any issues with it. I'm all for making the college football scene more like the NFL scene. Just keep it all college football-y still. But I'm just looking at the best, and the NFL's the best, and they figured it out. So why not take some of what really works for them? Well, let's go. You ought to go through a show one time, Angel. Let's just take rules, the rules that are different in college football and the NFL, every one of them. Because they have different kick return rules, don't they, kickoff? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's all the same now. I think
That's right.
The punts and kicker.
Fair
catch in the 25, that's it.
Fair catch it from China, and you'll get it on the 25.
Yeah, so if you're a kicker, focus on field goals.
Yeah. Or try
don't
to
need you for much else.
Or try to create some unique bounces in the kickoffs
now. On your
now.
Field goals and your onside kicks.
Yep, that's pretty much all we need you for on that side of things. All right, so we'll have a busy show tomorrow. We'll have another of our player shows. We do those early in the week. We'll have the Clay Millen show. That will start at 12 o'clock tomorrow, so I'm excited about that as we actually prepare for game week. He'll give us his insight so far on Washington State, and that's coming up. And throughout the course of the week, I will have some tickets to give away, so don't miss those opportunities to get your free tickets. Let's fill that stadium up, man. I'm going to be out there in the press box, and I want, by the time the kickoff rolls and I take my pregame shot, not my pregame shot, but my pregame picture shot, I want it to be full and look great. And we'll keep previewing UNC and Abilene Christian coming up on Thursday. All that, Broncos talk, so much more coming up later this week. It's been The Whole Show. Good night, Northern Colorado.